This summer, our Those Were the Days program, in conjunction with the Museum of Broadcast Communications, is celebrating a summer of soaps. The focus is on daytime dramas, the good old shows from the golden age of radio and television. And, of course, naturally, on our Those Were the Days program, we're spending a lot of time this summer focusing on the greatest of the great radio daytime dramas, the soap operas. I have before me an original copy of a press release that was issued by the National Broadcasting Company on March 26th of 1936. And the headline says, Backstage Wife, New Serial Story to Debut Over NBC March 30th. I'd like to share this with you. Backstage Wife, the story of a naive, demure young Iowa girl who marries a dashing matinee idol and is then confronted by many a perplexing problem when she attempts to keep on being herself while coping with her temperamental husband, comes to an NBC network on Monday, March 30th, 3:15 p.m. Central Time, and will be heard daily except Saturday and Sunday thereafter at the same time. Backstage Wife will be sponsored by the Sterling Products Company. Vivian Friedel, who takes the feminine lead as Mary Noble in the new series, plays the role by simply being herself, the character having been by coincidence created in the script expressly to fit her own. Although only 23 years old, Miss Friedel has been in radio professionally for the past 5 years, starting her career over local stations in Wisconsin while she was a student in the speech department of the University of Wisconsin. While carrying a full course of academic studies at the institution, Vivian was writing and acting in her own program over the university radio station 6 days a week. Since coming to Chicago a little more than a year ago, an unbroken succession of lucky breaks, as she terms it, has brought her straight to a network program. Playing opposite Miss Friedel in the male lead as Larry Noble is Kenneth Griffin, Harvard graduate and well-known Chicago radio actor. Well, playing opposite Chuck Shaden today on Those Were the Days is the lady who starred for so many years as Mary Noble, Backstage Wife. And we're delighted, absolutely delighted, to welcome Vivian Friedel to our microphone. Hello.
Thank you. Hello.
It's so nice to see you.
So nice to be here.
You're a lovely-looking lady, and you have a charming voice, and you did so much to entertain us in the good old days.
Thank you. Well, think of what you're doing here. It's remarkable, wonderful.
Well, we're glad to be able to share the sounds and to invite our listeners to share in your memories, too. Now, let's see. You said that when you came to Chicago, you had, in this press release, a succession of lucky breaks that brought you to this network program. Well, what were some of those lucky breaks?
Well, I was just lucky that the right people heard me at the right time, people that just happened to like my way of speaking and so on, and therefore I would win.
These were all auditions. You'd have to take
auditions,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Now, said at the University of Wisconsin, you had written and performed in your own radio series. What kind of a series was that?
Well, we gave various plays and things, you know, and we would have to cut them. It was part of our education there, you know, and we were required to do it. We did it.
Mm-hmm. You at that time looked forward to a career in broadcasting? Was that your goal at that time?
It certainly was. It was as long as I can remember. I wanted to be a radio actress.
Not the stage?
No, my father did some acting in Sweden when he was a young man. And I guess I just got the idea from him.
So then you just automatically... Now, it's got to be pretty... Did you have an idea when you started out in the role of Mary Noble, which actually didn't start on NBC. It had been on the Mutual Broadcasting System in WGN in Chicago for a while.
Okay.
And then it went on the network, right?
That's
moving
right.
to NBC?
A year later.
When you started that, did you have any idea that it would become as popular as it ultimately did?
No, I didn't. I hoped that it would. I had no way of knowing. But I thought it was a wonderful theme, a wonderful story.
Back in the mid-30s at that time, there was a little bit of a track record with these the daytime dramas having run for a couple of years, but no one knew that they would ultimately go on into the 50s and even some of them up to about 1960. Now, Backstage Wife ran from 1935, when it started on Mutual, until... 1959, so that was a pretty long run.
No, till 1943.
You were on it till 43.
Yes,
right.
Well, that's right.
But
that
the
was
show,
in New York.
The show went to New York.
That's
now
right.
I understand. You showed me something before we got started. A copy of a letter to you from Ann Hummert, from the Hummert Radio Features. Her, she and her husband were the ones who put
That's
this
right.
together.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1943, mm-hmm. I guess, she said, mm-hmm. she wrote you saying, "We are finding it impossible to stay in Chicago anymore. We need to move to New York."
Mm-hmm.
And while we have kept it here for the last several years because we wanted you to be in this role, we now find it really difficult. We hope you can come to New York. Now, what was your decision at that time?
There was no question. I wouldn't leave my husband,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't leave my daughter.
Now, your husband had an advertising business in
yes,
Chicago,
he did,
is that
on
right?
On Michigan Avenue. It was mm-hmm. just a beautiful business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your husband's name is Solomon?
Yes, it is, Ben Solomon.
Ben Solomon.
He
now,
was with the Charles Silver Advertising Agency.
I see.
And that's where I met him in an audition.
Oh, uh-huh. So you didn't know you were auditioning no. for him instead of the...
No, I didn't know him then. But I did have the audition. I had gone to him to see if he was having an audition.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Yes, I am in about a week." And he told me where, and he said, "You can come and try out." So I did, and I did get the part. It was for Taylor Washing Machine Company and Little Bo Peep Ammonia.
Ah.
And I did it for quite a while. And after a couple of weeks, he said to me, "You know, by the way, I admired him. Really, I thought mm-hmm. he was such a sweet and dear person, as he was." And he said, "This has nothing to do with your work, but I would love to take you to dinner sometime."
Mm-hmm.
I was so thrilled. And so I mm-hmm. went, and then after that, we dated quite a bit. And a while later, the first thing I said, "Are you married?" Because my mother said, "Don't go out with
uh-huh.
any married man."
Uh-huh.
And he said, "No, I live with my mother." And then we got married. And we lived for 49 years together, and he passed away last October.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm glad to hear that you had a wonderful 49
wonderful.
Years.
That beautiful.
Was marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It was wonderful.
You and he was not in the note from Ann Hummert. She said about your husband. I'm quoting from this letter. "I have heard he's in advertising, and I know in the family what he does and where he does it comes first. This is proper, but it may be that now or later his business could bring him to New York. But he was not able to go to New York, or didn't he want to go to New York?
He had to. He was too big here. He couldn't do that.
So firmly entrenched here in the Chicago
yes,
area.
Yes, he was. Uh-huh.
Well, now when the show left then for New York, then you stayed here,
mm-hmm.
and there was Claire Neeson
yes,
took over
did.
The role
uh-huh.
for
uh-huh.
the rest of it for
yes,
the rest
did.
Of the run.
And she did very well.
Mm-hmm. Now. Did you ever hear, did the audience notice any change? Did the audience respond to a change?
I don't think there was much of a change
mm-hmm.
because she had heard my voice and she listened. And I offered to have her come here and I'd help
mm-hmm.
her.
Oh, I
but
see.
She didn't do that. And so it worked out.
Now, when I was a youngster listening to the daytime dramas, now I, of course, mm-hmm. had to go to school. But once in a while, I'd have a cold and had mm-hmm. to stay home, and I'd yeah. listen to the stories. And I'd get to know them over a childhood, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And I remember Mary Noble as being a character who was deeply in love with her husband, Larry Noble, who was the Broadway matinee
That's
idol
right,
of millions,
was.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And she trusted him. She believed in him. And would never believe anything that anybody said about him. They say, "Oh, Mary, you know, Larry is out there. I saw him having lunch with so-and-so." And you would say, "No, it was had to be business." And all. So Mary was always a very trusting person, right?
Yes, and that's why later on, when you were talking about Mary Noble, mm-hmm. you changed it to Noble Mary.
Noble Mary.
Remember when you did that?
Did I say that?
She did. She was kind of noble.
Yeah.
But
well,
she was also very
uh-huh.
smart. There were so many leading ladies that were fond of Larry Noble,
mm-hmm.
But she managed to get them away from him.
Did you, as the lead actress in the series, get advice from the listeners? Did they write?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
They wrote to me telling me what was going on with my husband and other people. Oh, yes, it was very, very true.
They assumed mm-hmm. that you didn't know that Larry was having a rendezvous, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Now, did Larry ever openly cheat on Mary?
No.
I don't think he
no,
did.
No, not
did he?
Really.
No?
No, not really.
But
no.
sometimes his head was turned,
yes,
as they
of course.
Say, right?
Yeah. As anyone would be.
Yeah. Well, he was this glamorous star, and, mm-hmm. and Mary often felt a little. Mary was really a housewife, right?
That's correct.
And she felt a little left out
mm-hmm.
of his
mm-hmm.
career.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Larry, of course, always had a he loved Mary, and he would, when he realized that this mild transgression had caused her pain, then he usually was repentant, right?
Very much so. I played an altogether different role in Wife vs. Secretary. She was a very sophisticated woman, and Rhys Taylor played opposite me in that.
Now, were you doing this at the same time you were doing Mary Noble? Wife vs. Secretary. Was that, what network was that on?
Yeah, Wife vs. Secretary was over WGN.
Just a local, local broadcast. How many different shows were you doing at a given time?
Oh, about four or five, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were not regular shows. They were, like, the Worry Clinic was not a regular show. But I did that, and that was interesting. I was on Merton Marge. That was one of the first shows I did. And then there were others.
You were on the, did you do The Road of Life?
No, I didn't.
Didn't do The Road of Life? How about The Romance of Helen Trent?
Yes, I was in that.
Were you one of her girlfriends or Gil Whitney's?
Yes, I was her best friend.
Oh, you were her best friend.
Jeanette McNeil.
Oh, I see. We're going to, next Saturday, we're going to play an episode of The Romance of Helen Trent. In fact, Bernice Martin, who is heard on that show from time to time, will be here sitting right where you are. So it's so nice we're going to have. We have Mary Noble and Helen Trent and all kinds of people.
Well, where's Virginia Clark? Do you know? Is she passed away?
Virginia Gregg?
She played Helen Trent.
Oh, Virginia. I think she's gone. Julie Stevens also played Helen Trent for a while.
See.
Yeah, unfortunately, so many of these folks have gone away. You know, they've passed on.
And I know this Neeson girl who played Mary Noble after me passed away.
She did. Out of all the years that you were on radio, and your career spanned professionally from 1935 until when?
Till 1946. So 48. 1948, that's when Barry Noble left.
And it didn't leave until 48 then?
Yes.
I see, okay. So you had... And then basically when that ended, then you just decided to devote your...
To my family.
To your family. And you have how many children?
One.
A daughter? She Jan is here today, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good.
And we adored her.
Did your you got a lot of coverage in the fan magazines and in the newspapers and all of that sort of thing I know you brought a couple of clippings along today and some nice, beautiful photographs, which I think at least one of which is going to turn up in our Nostalgia Digest and Radio Guide one of these days.
Seymour can't do wrong, you know.
Yeah, Maurice Seymour. Everybody went to Maurice. They must have been standing in line to go to Maurice Seymour for the photographs. Now, Backstage Wife, and that was really the title of the show, Backstage Wife. It was not Mary Noble Wife, just simply Backstage Wife.
Well, the announcer always said that Mary Noble Backstage Wife, that's the reason that came to But the real name, as you say, is Backstage Wife.
And that was broadcast from the NBC studios, WMAQ, in the Merchandise Mart.
Yes, it was. The 19th floor, Studio A.
Which is all, they're all gone from there now. All the NBC stuff is out of there
it's
now.
It's heartbreaking.
It's a sad...
Were you there at all, Chuck, when it was a hub? It was so busy, humming and everyone laughing, greeting one another, musicians, everybody all alike. Were you on the floor? Are you too young?
No, well, I used to attend a radio broadcast at the Merchandise Mart when I was young, and I would get a chance to sneak in and see some of the shows.
To the 20th floor and look down.
Yes,
we had an audience.
And, of course, you would have an audience behind the glass. You wouldn't have a studio audience.
The glass.
And the sponsors up there looking down and saying, make sure you mention that product properly, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
How much preparation did it take you to do, for example, a 15-minute Backstage Wife program?
Oh, I would say about a half an hour.
After you had established the character, you really knew what you were doing, and you'd get that script cold, right? Half an hour before?
Yes, cold. And we would have to go through it three times, you know. Once, just to go through it for timing.
Yes.
And then for familiarization. And then to go through it once more for direction. And that was it. Then we were on the air.
Then you do it live.
Mm-hmm.
Live. Did you have to do more than one broadcast of that each day?
No.
For the time change? It didn't make any difference. Because that press release said that it was on at 4:15 in the east and then 3:15 in the Midwest.
Well, that's the way it usually is, isn't it?
Well, that's right. But then it would have been carried at 1:15 on the West Coast.
Uh-huh.
But that would have been okay. They didn't need to worry about the network nighttime schedule, because some of the nighttime shows they had to do twice.
Yes, that's true. You know, before Backstage went away, they... I forgot what I was going to tell you. I was going to tell you something else about it, but...
Well, you think of it. Think of it. Backstage Wife really became one of the best remembered of the radio daytime dramas. Now, did you have a problem with the fact that they called it a soap opera?
No.
Did you mind? You didn't mind that they called it a soap opera? I mean, that's...
Never even thought
sometimes
of it.
People think, well, that's a degrading. It's a daytime drama. But they were soapy because of the sponsors.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, did you get many perks from the sponsors? Did they offer you some of their product from time to time? Did you have to go out on publicity tours for the show? Never did that. Just strictly the acting. And when you were hired, were you hired for this role like a year at a time, or 13 weeks at a time, or what kind of a length was your contract?
It was usually 13 weeks.
So that you knew you had a job for 13 weeks.
Yes.
Now, if I'm not getting too personal.
Yes.
When you first signed on for the network, not for the WGN run, but for the network run, you were going to do this 5 days a week.
Yes.
What kind of money were they paying for
that?
Not
very much.
Yeah.
No. I think they offered me $100 a week. And I thought that was an enormous amount of money those days.
Well, I would think I've heard stories where people got $5 a show or something like that.
I know. I did when I first did commercials and other little things, you know. That's all I'd get.
So $100 a week. You probably had a Rolls Royce driving you over to the merchandise mart, picking you.
But, you know, what I was going to tell you, after you do a show for a number of years... you really become the character when you're in the studio.
Yes.
You don't need much direction, actually. You know exactly. You're in character, and you stay in character just automatically. And there's nothing really for the director to do except to cut it, if it needs cutting, or tell you to make it to speak more slowly.
Right. And I suppose the director would work with characters who were not regulars
if
on the show.
That is correct.
Someone come in that this is a role that's just going to be 4 or 5 days or something like that. Yeah.
But some interesting people were on the show at various times through all those years. One was Edie Davis, Reagan's mother-in-law.
Oh, Reagan's mother-in-law. Ronald Reagan's Nancy's mother, right?
Yes, that's right. And I used to see her when we went to Scottsdale every year because she lived on the Biltmore Estates, which was in Phoenix.
Oh, yes.
So I could get to see her, and we'd go to the Sugar Bowl, crazy place.
Oh, yeah. And you talk about the radio days.
Radio days.
You worked in Milwaukee. You worked with an actor who became Dennis Morgan, right?
Yes, that is correct.
He was Stanley Mourner?
He was Stanley Mourner.
Yeah.
He sang in our church, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful, yeah. So he had... He changed his name and went on to, I think he worked for Warner Brothers and MGM and a lot of studios. Mm-hmm. Did some work with Jack Carson and some others.
Mm-hmm. And John Huston was on our show.
He was.
And I thought that was a very interesting experience because he had Alice Smith, who played the organ in the theme song, and myself. He wanted to speak to us after the show and asked us if we would help him with something. He was doing Abe Lincoln in Illinois in a theater in Chicago at the time. And we said, what can we help you with? He wanted to sing a song. And he wanted Alice to play the piano for him. And he had to go to the Tribune Tower, where they had a piano. And he said, and I should come and tell him which gestures to use in the song. So we went and did it a couple of days, and he did it. All right. But wasn't it amusing to think that he'd listened to two of us when he became the greatest director in Hollywood?
Well, that's how he became the greatest director.
I thought it was funny.
He listened to other people.
I thought it was funny.
Speaking of directors, you worked with a man who has left an impact on Chicago broadcasting and someone you admire a lot, I think Blair Walliser. Right? Didn't he work on your show for many years?
For many years, yes. And he was wonderful, a very good, fine director.
What made him different from other radio directors?
Maybe his personality. He was so understanding and so sweet and gentle about everything. We've had some directors, you know, were bombastic and impossible. It only made the people nervous, you know. But Blair knew just how to handle people, and he got the best out of them because they appreciated it. Mm.
Mm-hmm. With the gentle glove does it better, doesn't it?
That's
doesn't
right. Mm-hmm.
Out of the years that you spent on radio, broadcasting dramatic programs, the soap operas, whatever, what was the best experience you ever had? Can you think of one that stands out among
the best experience?
Good experiences that you've had? I guess the whole thing was a good experience for you.
I think it was, really. I loved it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just delighted to be on Backstage Wife. I loved the show. I thought it was a nice show. And it was really...
Well, you know, you brought a lot of happiness to an awful lot of people. Now, I mentioned that I listen to it occasionally because I'd be off school or something. But my mother listened to that program religiously. I mean, it was part of her life, along with Stella Dallas and Helen Trent and Lorenzo Jones and young Widder Brown and all of the others. But it was a show that that brought people out of their kitchens and laundry rooms and living rooms to fantasize what it might be like being the wife
of a movie star,
right,
a Broadway star.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of empathy for you and the role that you performed on there. Thank you very much for doing that.
Well,
you did a good job with it.
I'm just thanking you, because really, when you think of all the people, Chuck, that were in radio, and at that time it was a big thing, okay? And all of a sudden it was nothing. I'd go up to the 19th floor with my husband to look and see what was there. There wasn't anything there.
Yeah.
It was sad. And really, you have brought the people an idea of what it was like, that it was really real and really great.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sure was, and I appreciate your saying that. It's my pleasure. I love doing this, and I'm so delighted that you took some time out to come down today.
I'm mighty glad you
could be with us. And we've got a treat for our listeners now, because we're going back to the very first season on NBC from 1935, an episode of Backstage Wife. This was sponsored at the time by Dr. Lyons Tooth Powder.
That's right.
And this is an episode set in Chicago. The scene is backstage in Larry's dressing room. So we're going to have some fun. There's a... Yes, something else? I want to say something. She gave me the high sign. I should say waving goodbye. this is a... I must say that Vivian Friedle, who played Mary Noble, has survived tremendously better than this particular recording. You're beautiful. You look lovely today. I know you are a charming lady, and I'm so delighted that you could come down. The episode here that we have is a little worse for wear. You aren't, but the episode is. So thanks very much for coming by, Vivian Friedle. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.